Imagine a world
in which post-traumatic stress
no longer robs
from millions who suffer.
You don't want to get help because you're embarrassed.
That stigma of you can't talk to people is so true.
The experts, they forgot to tell me I can heal.
I don't want to live this trauma again. Right. And he goes, You don't have to. I said, What?
I just remember being able to stand by the water and look up at the sky and hear the noises. And I didn't think they were gunshots. I was like, those are Disney fireworks.
I don't even know what to imagine for myself now, my future, because I have one.
This is Life After PTSD.
Today, we have a special guest, David Russo.
Yes.
And he has a special voice.
Same name, last name as you.
Oh, that's interesting. Why do you have the same last name as me?
Know. Why do I?
Because I have your name, right?
Well, that's true.
We'll let our audience figure that one out. And why do I have your last name? Probably because you can talk like Donald Duck. Could you share that with us, please?
The mystery of the day.
You can talk like
Would
Donald
like
Duck.
Would you like me to talk like Donald Duck?
Sure. You haven't done it in a while, though. Can you?
I can go.
That was great.
Hello, everybody.
Can you say welcome to Life After, another episode of Life After PTSD?
Welcome to another episode of Life After PTSD.
That didn't go too well.
Okay, so staying calm when everything goes wrong. That's what we're going to discuss.
Sounds good. I'm the king of calm, so that's good.
Well, I mean, you're married to me.
That's why we complement each other very well, don't we?
Most days.
Sometimes.
So there's an article in Psychology Today that I just thought would be excellent to discuss on the podcast because it's the high cost of calm. Why relaxing is so much work. And I don't think we consider that most days because relaxing doesn't seem like work, right? It should be the opposite of work.
Well, I think people, when they're at work, have a hard time relaxing and they don't know how to separate from work quite often.
Well, especially let's talk about now, right? With the pandemic and, well, even though we're talking, we're supposed to all be open again, right? But still wearing masks, vaccinating, not vaccinating. But I, you know, one reason I have a hard time staying calm is I never know what the next thing is that's going to happen, right?
That's the problem. We're driven by two things, right? Fear or hope for something that's going to happen that's good. And so with everything we're hearing in the news right now, especially with the world that way it is, COVID, pandemic, wars, whatever's happening, there's a lot of anxiety and fear that's being created because of that. And so on top of our own responsibilities and work and caring for people and seeing what's happening to those around us, we still have to find a way to manage ourselves well.
So it's interesting, staying calm when everything goes wrong. It says these skills, these cognitive emotional skills can help you cope. So I'm just wondering, you as a client, not that you're really a client.
How much am I paying for this?
I just wanted to, we sometimes talk about the office. I was looking at these and, there's 25 things. I'm not going to read all of them, but there's like 25 things in this article that can help keep you calm. So I just want to have feedback. Usually you have some interesting feedback. You have not read this.
Nope.
I have.
Yep.
But so this should be fun. Mm-hmm. We'll see if you get to go home with me or not.
Okay. This is a big test then.
Okay. Number one, don't jump to conclusions before you have full information. Thoughts on that, Dave?
Right. So I think the challenge there for most of us is we all have our internal biases that we've grown up with or what we've been taught, whether it's just education or our own personal beliefs or values, whatever it may be, our bias will lead us to a conclusion sometimes that maybe we need more of the story or the rest of the story.
Or we think we have the rest of the story,
instead
right?
Instead of being objective, we're being subjective. And right. So the challenge, I think the goal often should be to be more objective, have that open mind to hear and listen first or explore, be informed.
Of course, what I think of, honey, is you're never really going to have full information. So if you don't jump to conclusions before you have full information, guess what? You'll never jump to conclusions ever because you probably, there's rare days you'll actually have full information. But that's just my take on it in the moment.
That can be circumstantial. Right?
Okay. So number two, distinguish between a bump in the road and the end of the road. A friend of mine the other day said to me, I mean, you didn't die. You got through it. Like, yes, it was rough. This horrible thing happened. But you're here now. You're not there. It's not happening now.
Well, let me put it in this perspective that it also depends on what's at the end of the road, right? Is it a wall, a tree, or a cliff? Okay. And there's different outcomes that may come with each one of those.
But, okay? You know, seriously, but consider what you can be grateful for.
Okay, let's slow it down a little bit. Let's say I'm going 50 miles down the road. A bump may only give me a flat tire and slow me down a little bit, but I can get back on the road. If I get to an end of a road, then it can be a very bad ending, depending if I don't slow down.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah.
Or it can be, it's now time to find a new road.
Quickly. Make a quick turn. That's true.
Just find
that's
a
true.
New direction, right? I can turn around, go back where I came from, or I need to go left or right instead of continuing going straight.
So ask yourself, number three, ask yourself what you need to learn, if anything.
That's, I think, a challenging one often for people, because if it's a difficult situation, trying to find the good learning lesson in that is what we should do, but it
Wait, stop shoulding, okay? We've talked about that. No shoulding, right? We do this to ourselves all the time, right? I'm going to add my own little tidbit here. I think staying calm when everything goes wrong is we should not should on ourselves.
Did you say we should not should on ourselves?
Correct. We shouldn't. We should.
We should not.
Okay, fine.
Should
on ourselves. Shoulding. No shoulding, okay? Because it's the past. We can't do anything about it. Move forward. We're not there anymore.
How do we find the good in a bad situation, right? And so depending on how bad
we move forward to a new situation. Right. Cuz you don't know what's going to, often, and I know you've heard me say, when we go out too far in the future, we have what? Anxiety. We go too far in the past, or even sometimes yesterday, or sometimes the last hour, we can have depression. So if we stay in the moment, staying in the moment is really, it's being present, right? You're giving the gift of your presence. And so when you should, that's going back to the past. And it's going out to the future. Like, in the future, you should do this. Well,
I think there are times when that word should is legit, in the sense that I should do this. It is good or beneficial to me, okay? When you put it in the past, that's where I really think what you're saying applies to the fact that I should have. Well, that's irrelevant now because it's already passed. So whether you should have or shouldn't have, it doesn't affect where you are now. So the question is...
And so being where you are now is what's so important.
What should you be focusing on now?
Or just, and, no, and, so and where is your focus now?
Right.
Where is your focus?
And that is a common...
Not should, just where is your focus?
Idea right now is the power of now, being present in the moment now. What's important now? What's the right thing now? What's going to get me where I want to be doing the right thing now?
And now people are listening to our podcast and hopefully they will find some encouragement. So let's see what the next thing is. Okay. Consider a debrief. Venting endlessly about something that has gone wrong is unlikely to help you. Often it can be psychologically beneficial to just briefly voice a complaint and then move on, right? Just a debrief, not going on and on and on.
Let it go.
Gratitude. I mean, let's face it. When we think about what we're grateful for, it completely changes our attitude.
Everybody should start their day thinking of something they're grateful for.
Should? Did you say should again? Tomorrow morning when you wake up.
We'll be started from now on with a grateful thought.
Grateful thought. Really? Tomorrow morning. Let's do that, right?
Okay. That's right.
That's what we do already. Every morning we get up.
Now, think of one to three things.
True.
Grateful for.
I am actually grateful that you're here doing this.
This is fun.
I actually am. See? It was fun. I had to twist your arm a little bit, but so it's clear your clutter. That's another a way to curb anxiety. Clear your clutter. You know I like to do that, right? All of it.
This
clear
may be a
everything.
Sore subject right now was my wife, the minimalist wannabe here.
It's great. Drink a lot of water. Staying hydrated. You know that is such a simple way. If somebody's in my office and they are having, just really upset and. I mean, there's lots of things I do, but sometimes I just hand them a bottle of cold water or even lukewarm water. If it's,
you know, and we can pass over that real quickly, but think about what your go-to is when you are tired or you're needing, you know, something.
Energy drink. Oh, yes. Right. Don't say that.
And how often does someone go to coffee or a sugar drink or something that will...
Actually, you're pretty good about going to water these days. Yeah.
And I have practiced it in my own life that when I crave water, there are many times when I intentionally... I mean, when I crave something with sugar in it, I will drink the water. And you will find, if you put that practice into place, that is actually more satisfying to you and will quench the thirst versus... when you have that sugary drink or that coffee or whatever, you're going to want
absolutely.
More.
And when you're anxious, yeah, just...
And then you're going to...
Well, then you're anxious. Down, right? Well, then you're anxious because you had too much caffeine, right? Or too much sugar or too much, yeah.
The anxiety, the nervousness, whatever kicks in, or the tiredness.
So it says, one of these is read the newspaper rather than tracking the news online. I would just say just don't read the news these days. I mean, I guess you have to know something.
I think just reading in general can be a more calming effect to the brain.
And, definitely.
And it's a practice that, you know, practices, it's not a visual stimulation as much as it is
right.
a mental exercise that can create a relaxing.
I like this one personally. Drop and do 10 push-ups.
Can you do 10 push-ups?
Of course I can. I can do 20.
Do 20, okay.
I think I can do 25 right. now.
Yes, well, that's just physical movement, physical exercise, something that creates the tension out of your body, puts it into...
Even on the wall. Do 10 push-ups on the wall. One of the things that I like that's not in this this article is just take a moment. Obviously, breathe, that is. It does say a mindful activity.
Yes.
But one of the mindful activities that I do is just find two spots in the room and just notice how you're feeling in that moment and move your eyes back and forth. This is part of a therapy. Well, it's part of other therapies too, but that Leni Rosenzweig developed.
So you can go external and breathe, right? Focus on something, whether it's in your, if you're in an office, or if you can look out the window and see something natural, I think would even be better, a tree or, you know, bird or something like that, right? Or you can close your eyes and cut out the...
And still move them back and forth, actually.
Visual pollution.
Notice that you can move your eyes back and forth.
And you can still move your eyes, but you can also just... do a body check, right, that they talk about where is the tension, how do I, you know, take that deep breath and think about that tension being released as you're just...
Well, one thing I know you like to do is noticing when, if you're having anxiety and your heart feels like it's racing, is noticing it being on a treadmill and slowing down the treadmill, right?
That's right.
It does work.
The hamster wheel. Tell the hamster to slow down.
Let's see. Fill your lungs, it says. Yeah, that's all... Deep breathing. It says, yes, deep breathing will work eventually.
Say anything about breaking anything or yelling at anybody? Because a lot of people want to get aggressive when they're feeling anxious and tense. So
actually, it's funny you should say that.
Talk about being calm and controlled, not letting the emotion control.
Apparently, there's a place called the Rage Room.
Yes, I thought about creating one of those.
No, that's terrible. I can't believe you said that. When did you think about that? Why did you not share that thought with me?
To one of your sons and mine.
Oh, well, it's apparently
for where people pay.
Apparently exists across the street. It's right here.
People get to pay and they get
and
to
they can go in and break
hedge,
everything.
Well, they can slam a hedge sledgehammer against a car or they can break a lamp.
That sounds like an expensive.
So that you get that thrift sounds shop like items that you
an expensive clearing of your anxiety. I don't think that's something
messy,
I would recommend.
Maybe, but, you know, it's kind of like the, it was a psychiatrist that says, go home and punch the pillow, right? Or yell on the pillow really loud.
I've just never seen where that's helpful. I think it'd be better to run.
Healthier would be a physical
or
activity.
Or what you do, go play tennis.
For me, tennis, I get to hit something without hurting
over
anybody.
And
or
over and over, right?
My body sometimes.
Yeah, physical activity. I think physical activity is a really, really important thing. And honestly, let's talk about that. The most important things, physical activity, move your body, drink some water, eat healthy, and find a therapist. And don't shoot on yourself.
And redirect your thoughts to good thoughts. Grateful thoughts. I heard someone say just recently, I think it was today even, that for everything bad in your life, you can multiply, you can look at how many more good things there are in your life. It may be really bad, but you can still count that there are more good things around your life and in your life than there are bad things. So there may be one.
But what about that person that says, no, I have more bad things than good?
I would say, are you breathing? Are you
change your focus, right?
Right. So what can you focus on that is good? And you'll see, you live in America. If you're talking to someone here, count that blessing right now.
Well, let's face it. We are, well, we, this podcast is actually heard in other countries besides America.
I'd say if you are talking directly.
But even the fact that you're able to listen to a podcast, I mean, that can be something positive.
Right. Access to information.
Yeah.
Right. Any freedom that
amazing information.
Correct.
So I just want to encourage everybody today to do something positive for your mental health. Go out, take a walk. People tell me that they can't get out of bed sometimes. And I'm like, really? Do you have a bedpan? No. Well, then you can get out of bed. Right. So it's a few steps farther just to get out of your house, walk outside, and then take a few more steps. Mm-hmm. And if it's really cold or where the weather is bad, then or really hot,
like it is here.
Then at least you can still walk around your house, do some push-ups against the wall if you can't get down on the ground.
Right.
I mean, just do something different because it's doing the same thing.
Leg lifts, jumping jacks in your room, whatever it is, something to move and get you active.
Yeah. Drink some water. Mm-hmm. Eat something that's nutritious for your body. Mm-hmm. You know, we put so much, when we're feeling anxious and feeling upset, often we get hungry and we eat things that we shouldn't eat. You know, oh my goodness, I can't think. Hydrate your body and give
nourishment.
Nourish your body. Yeah, don't just feed.
It's good energy versus bad energy, right? You want energy that's going to be a benefit to you, not.
Am I good energy to you, honey? Is that good energy?
Right now, it's good energy. Yes. There are moments, though. That'll be another podcast, another day.
Really? Will it?
Yes. So,
that could be fun.
So physical activity. We can talk about other kinds of physical activity that can be beneficial to a marriage or to a relationship. And then mindfulness, like we said, you know, checking your body, your mind, your attitude, your attention.
Yeah, so in summary, being grateful, hydrating your body, nourishing your body, getting some exercise, getting some outside if you can, doing something, and doing something different. Did I say being grateful? I did, right?
Well, do something you enjoy, maybe. You know, find something outside of work that you actually enjoy.
How about the people that don't enjoy anything?
And things that are more relaxing than stimulating. So
take a little
time to read or take a little time to do nothing but just breathe and think or make a, you know,
notes. I just thought about something.
Journaling, like we talked
think
about.
About how difficult it is. When they talk about the high cost of calm, the one thing I just thought about was, what are we constantly doing? All the time.
Screens.
Phones, on our screens,
phones,
right?
It's not a phone.
No wonder we have a high cost of calm.
It's not a computer, it's a TV.
We are, we're constantly on our phones. Mm-hmm. How in the world, when we have notifications popping up and emails and text messages and, or vice versa, when we have none of that popping up, right? And people are waiting for information to come or waiting for somebody to like their post.
Right.
That is so overwhelming. And that can be a high cost of calm. Put your phone down, right? Put it down. If you can.
It has to be a practice that you put into place because we're so quick to be at the go, at looking at that screen. What's next? Right. What's coming at me next? Where's the text? Where's the phone call? Where's the information?
And while I'm waiting, let me play this game.
What's the game? What's the, you know, whatever it is that's coming up. And so we have to learn to separate from that. And that's where that staring away at just to focus on the dot or the tree out the window or to close your eyes for a minute. Take those little 5-10 minute breaks sometimes just to
or even just
mind.
30 seconds, 5 minutes. Come on, I don't have five minutes, honey.
Just take 20 seconds. Okay?
Yeah, but really 20 seconds can do
deep
something.
Breaths and think about something grateful. Take 3 deep breaths. Focus on your body. Relax the tension for a moment.
Honey, I'm going to deep breathe and just think about you. Would that be good? Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. The next time I'm stressed, and would that work for you?
I don't know that it will work for me. We won't go into details now, but that's all good.
Sure, it will. No, some days, depending, it's what you focus on, right?
Well for me. Yes.
It's what you focus on.
That's right.
So the thing I want to ask as we're leaving this podcast is, I've been asking people. Okay, here's my fast questions. Right, just answer these quickly. What is mental health?
A healthy mind.
And what does that mean?
That means I am processing well, thinking well, things are helping me move forward and accomplishing what I need to accomplish and not getting stuck.
What's your favorite movie?
Indiana Jones.
What's your favorite?
Braveheart.
What does it mean to be vulnerable? I'm stealing that from Brené Brown.
Being willing to let others into your inner self, the real you.
If you didn't do the job that you do now, like if you could do any job, like crazy fun, I mean, your job is fun, but.
Yes, it is.
No, but if you could pick any job, what would it be?
Other than like big wave surfer going from island to
there
island.
There it is. No, okay. No, that's it. That's okay. It. Right. The big wave surfer going from island to island. Would I be with you? Could I come with? Or?
Come along. Yes.
I would just be a professional rollerblader and I would break world records. I think it's like 71 miles an hour. Somebody went on rollerblades.
Have you seen,
you know,
those,
fast
have you seen
that
those
is?
Videos of guys, not on rollerblades, but on skateboards going down the mountains at 70 to 90 miles
it's an amazing.
Hour?
It's amazing. And do they live?
If they don't fall.
I went fairly fast one day and then I looked later and I was like, oh, wait, I was only going 14 miles an hour and it felt really, really fast. Mm-hmm. What's one famous person you would want to meet? Like a human, not like spiritually there would be people. But
yes. Jesus. Isn't that always the right answer for us? Jesus. Ronald Reagan, Billy Graham.
Okay.
There's two.
What's somebody who's still living today that you'd like to have a conversation with?
Matthew McConaughey seems like a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, he does. I would mind having a conversation with him. He's interesting.
And Chris Pratt.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. How was this?
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Any parting words or things you would like to leave with our audience about mental health?
Stay calm. Stay cool.
And go ride a wave.
Come on. Let's do it.